Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. A very happy Wednesday to you. And I got to shout out and say special thanks to our program director and Noon host, Neil Stavem, for having me on the show, on the Noon Show today, to talk about my new book, Your Powerful Prayers. Would you believe I even made him cry? I made him cry. My mom used to tell me that I made boys cry all the time, but it wasn't for the reason you think. It was because I slugged him or I tripped him. I was a tomboy. What can I say? But I made Neil cry because of a really sweet story around one of my sons and the whole idea of shame. I just appreciate Neil so much, his tender heart, and appreciate so much the chance to talk about your powerful prayers. So if you're interested in hearing the podcast, go to the Connecting Faith show page on our website, and the podcast is probably even up by now. I'd love to share some backstory of just how my prayer life evolved over the years. So thank you, Neil and Carissa and the whole team, for having me on. Appreciate it so much. All right, here's your question for today. You ready? Do you find that your emotions sometimes take over to the point that it's hard to think straight? Do your emotions sometimes take you into a ditch before your mind has a chance to even catch up? That's happened to me before. Well, my guest this hour is Karen Jordan, and she joins me to offer some hope and practical strategies to help us speak God's truth to our emotions as we unpack her book, Words That Change Everything. Then, second hour, our good friend Dr. Smalley joins the program to unpack what God's been teaching him about this crazy little thing called love. I will say Bill's in for me subbing that second hour, as I'm going to be hitting the road for a couple of speaking events in two different states. So thank you, Bill, ahead of time for that. Okay, so my first hour guest writes this. Worry, anxiety, and fear saturate our world today more than ever, from acts of terrorism to economic downturns. But many people, especially women, I would say, face real fears in their own homes, death, illness, job loss, betrayal, rejection, and dozens of other threats that challenge their family's well-being. And that's why we're talking about this today. There's help for us today. We're going to talk about some biblical prayer strategies to help us rein in our emotions so we can more firmly stand on God's truth. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Karen Jordan is an author, speaker, writing instructor, and blogger. She loves to encourage others to tell the stories that matter most, focusing on topics about faith, family, and writing. She and her husband, Dan, live in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, near their children and their grandchildren. Dear Karen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation, Karen. So we start out all of our conversations every day on Live the Promise talking scripture and wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Oh, goodness. Well, the one I've been pondering so much in the last few years is Philippians 4, 5 through 7. And it's, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a great promise for me.
Talk about why it's so personal to you.
Well, it's, the Lord just taught me so much about how to find rest from my uncontrollable emotions with this scripture. I was going through some really tough times, especially I was going through, my mother was dying, and I was spending lots of time in a waiting room, and I just was praying for, you know, just somehow to get control of my emotions, and I couldn't seem to sleep or think straight, really. And a lot of people would come up to me and say, you got to get some rest. And I'm like, how do I get rest in a waiting room? And so the answer for me was to turn to God's word, because I couldn't seem to read anything else, and I found this scripture in Philippians, and it became a promise that I just held on to during that whole journey with her, and then years after that when I went through some other issues, that I just held on to that promise that God is always near. And I came up with a acronym of REST out of that scripture, and that is, remember, the Lord's near. And because of that, I can begin to praise and exalt him is the E in REST. And with that thanksgiving, I can present my request and my petitions to him, and that is my surrender, and surrender my emotions to him. And then the T in that acronym is trust. Trust that his peace will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus.
So review that acronym one more time.
It's REST. Remember, exalt, surrender, and trust.
Very good. Very good. So, Karen, would you say you battled kind of rogue emotions growing up, or did it mostly catch up with you during the stresses of adult life?
Well, growing up, I think I seemed to be always in the middle of something and restless, and like you just said a while ago, I was a tomboy too. And so I wrestled with, my role as, I always wanted to be outside, and I always wanted to run free and climb trees and ride bikes, and that always was not, that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing a lot of times, and I would struggle with my mom about that. And so I just always had that struggle with my authority figures. And so I guess that's kind of where the restlessness came from in the first place.
Well, you open the book and you talk about a time when you were camped in a hospital waiting room more times than you'd cared to admit. And you said the weight of your burdens inflicted a toxic toll on your health. Talk about that toxic toll on your health. What happened and what came up for you? What God had you deal with during that time?
Well, during that time, I was just, like I said, I was just so stressed out, and it was affecting all kinds of my emotions. My mom lived in Texas, and I lived in Arkansas, so I was worried about, I was also finishing my thesis for my master's degree, and so I had to have that turned in, and I was teaching. Also, I was teaching writing at the university I attended, and so I had lots of responsibilities at home, and I was having to drop everything and go and help take care of my mom because we didn't, we needed to find out what was wrong with her. And so it was just, stress just does some toxic things to you, from your physical state of not being able to rest, to your mental, to your emotional, and it affects all your relationships around you. I've found myself being irritable, and I just couldn't think straight.
I've got a counselor friend, and she'd said that they are seeing women in their 40s and 50s manifesting all kinds of health issues. And she said so often it is symptomatic of past trauma, past heartbreak, past stress that we stuff down, we don't really fully deal with. And she says, stress doesn't just affect our emotions. It affects us physiologically. And she said it has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So it goes down deep, but eventually has to surface. And I thought that was so interesting that women in their 40s or 50s, we are having these array of symptoms, but they're symptoms of something deeper and not yet dealt with. Have you seen that as well?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Because I think with my stress, like I said, I couldn't rest adequately. And so not getting enough sleep, that just that one thing, it made me, I was gaining weight, and that affected me not only physically but emotionally because, none of my clothes were fitting, and I didn't look the way I wanted to look. And so the stress just kind of manifests in all areas, and not only that, but spiritually too, because, I found myself not really trusting the Lord to take care of things like I do when things are going fine, because it was like it wasn't looking like God was in control, although I knew he was, but it was like I didn't know, I just really couldn't understand why everything seemed to be going wrong at once.
So what were the words that changed everything for you? What was the turning point for you then?
The turning point is when when I realized that God could bring me peace with just refocusing my thoughts on His Word and refocusing my thoughts on that the truth that the Lord was with me, when even though He didn't seem like He was, and the truth that He was in control, even though He didn't seem like He was in control, and finding passages in His Word to support those truths, and focusing on His Word instead of my problems, because I find when I focus on the problems, I get depressed, and I go down in this sinking hole of the pit, you know, the depression, all that kind of stuff can really start building up on you. But if I choose to turn and focus on some of the promises that He's given me, then it you know, you can't focus on more than one thing at a time. And my focus on His Word just would totally send me in a state of peace. You know, I remember there would be times when I would literally, the acronym of REST actually became kind of like a mantra to me, because I would, in the middle of a crisis, I would just shut my eyes and say, remember, exalt, surrender, trust. Remember the Lord's here. I can exalt Him. I can praise Him. I can claim His promises. I can lift His promise of His Word over my circumstances. I can surrender my will to His, even though I don't like what's happening. I can trust Him. I can trust Him to give me peace in these circumstances. And I would actually have to repeat it over and over. Sometimes, you know, at night, just to go to sleep. You know, I would just lay there thinking, remember, exalt, surrender, trust.
Love it when God does give us some of these anchor truths to hang on to when the storms are just raging. We're going to be taking a break here in just a moment, but just a word about how you broke the book into three sections: red flags, rest, and retreat. Say a word about red flags before we go to this break.
Well, red flags are those emotional, our natural emotions that really are what I found are like anger or frustration or worry. Those are the red flags that turn and give me the direction that it's time to stop, drop, and pray. Stop and seek God for what's going on in my life. And that's why I call it a red flag. And so I just feel like my emotions are those red flags that God gave me to seek Him.
Talking to Karen Jordan, author of the book Words That Change Everything, Speaking Truth to Your Soul. Got three copies if you want to come in on the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, and put words Words That Change Everything. Or just words. I'll know which book you're talking about. Three of you get a copy of Karen's book. Got another segment with Karen talking about how to put this into practice. We'll be back in a moment. About you, but when my emotions go rogue or my anxieties surge, I put songs like this on. This is Christy Knuckles, Everything is Mine in You, and I throw my arms open wide and I put my head back and I just exalt God and I remember who He is, and then I remember who I am. When I remember who He is, I can better remember who I am. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Karen Jordan today about words that change everything. For the second half of this first hour, we're going to take prayer requests and just stand with you and love to know what God is saying to you, and maybe what are your battles saying to you, and what are some of the emotions that rise up in you as well. But Karen, you talked about these red flags and how we can identify them. And some of them are insecurity, fear of judgment, fear of rejection, timidity. So when you lose your peace and your anxieties surge and your emotion suddenly is kind of, you're not at peace anymore and you're feeling maybe a fear of rejection or judgment, how does a person go from there back to a place of peace again?
Well, I think the first step is in overcoming those negative thoughts is to seek the presence of God in their life. And for me, a lot of times that meant sitting down and making a list of the things that he's done in my life, you know, remembering all the ways that he's, you know, been faithful in my life. And I know during another hard time in my life, my husband and I just sat down and wrote our own little book of remembrance, like what has God done in our life since we'd been following him. And, you know, when life gets hard, sometimes that's what I need to go back. That's why I encourage people to write down those stories, tell the stories that matter most. Because as we go back, you know, and during the hard times, we need something to hold on to that sometimes is tangible, you know. And for me, it's my stories of what he's done in my life. Like I knew, like when my mom was terminally ill, I remembered the time that my dad was terminally ill and how God brought me through that. And I knew even if she were to die, God would bring me through that. I didn't know that when my dad died, but I learned he did. He was faithful then, and I knew he would be faithful during my mom's death. And another way is by praise, like you just said, turning on the praise music, you know, or focusing on a promise from God's word that he's given you about a certain situation, you know.
Very good.
Just surrender and surrendering my will. You know, I had to a lot of time my confession, I think, is so powerful because I have to go to God and say, hey, God, I don't really like what's going on, but I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust that you have a plan for me and you'll help me get through this time.
I appreciate that. You referenced Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Talk about that verse and what it means to you.
Well, to me, I never realized that the Lord could guide me to a promise in his word to counter some of the situations in my life, like the one about raising up a standard against me, against the negative thing that's happening. You know, I know when my dad was dying, I did not know that I grieved for a long time after he died. And I didn't understand, you know, why he had died. And the first time I really recognized that God would give me a promise is he gave me a promise in Isaiah 57, I believe it is. And it was talking about those that die in Christ, I mean, those who die will enter into his rest, and they'll rest in peace. And I knew my dad was with Christ. I knew he was in heaven when he died. And so when he died, I started looking up scriptures on heaven. You know, I wanted to know what heaven was like. And those promises really brought me peace during that time.
You know, when your emotions surge, this physiological thing happens. But it's so true that the enemy is right there to amp it up. And it does feel like he's come in like a flood. And for that person who feels at the mercy of just surging emotions and surging anxiety, and on top of that, just a demonic sense of panic or fear, I know you talk about this REST acronym. But any other advice for getting through those kinds of moments?
Yeah, there's another strategy that I also use, and I talk about this in my book, and I found this strategy was from Lamentations 3:28-29, and it's from the Message version of the Bible, but it says, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, wait for hope to appear. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm at my really... when my emotions are surging, that's what I need to do, and I need to speak that to myself. Sometimes I have to say to myself, Karen, it's time to go off by yourself, enter the silence, you know, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, and wait. And for me, I live in Hot Springs Village now, and it's not so hard for me just to walk down the street and sit by the lake, you know, and get off by myself. But when I had children at home, sometimes getting off by myself was going into the bathroom and locking the door, you know, just so I could really focus on getting, you know, hearing from God and not overreacting to my emotions. Because I don't know about you, but I tend to overreact sometimes.
I never do. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you don't? Oh, gosh.
Totally kidding.
I'd like to I like to know all about that.
Yes, exactly. In my other reality world that I live in. So say a word about negative self-talk, because so often when we speak out of our fears and speak out of our anxieties, it's really the opposite of what maybe what we actually believe in our core, or at least what the Bible says is true about our lives.
Well, that negative self-talk is the stuff that you say to yourself, like looking into the mirror. Okay, I'm over 60 now. I look in the mirror. I see gray hair. I see wrinkles. I see a few pounds, extra pounds, and that's the negative thought. That's the negative self-talk, like, oh, man, I'm old. I'm never going to look good again. But when I turn and I look into the mirror of God's Word, I look at what He says about me, you know, and He tells me He loves me, and He loves me unconditionally, and He tells me I'm forgiven, and He tells me this gray hair is a crown of glory, you know, for wisdom. And so I have to turn and listen to what God says about me versus what maybe my own mirror says. I look at the mirror of His Word and hold on to some of those blessings that I have in Christ rather than the negative thoughts that are coming to me. And I don't know about you, but I've learned the negative talk is just from the source of hell himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he speaks to me in my own voice, you know, and that's hard to talk about, you know, but I hear,
He puts thoughts in our brain in first person, so they sound like our thoughts, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it sounds like my voice sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's not my voice because it's not the truth, and I would never say that to anyone. Why would I say it to myself?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've just learned, you know, when I start in that pattern, I have to like say, well, hold on, wait a minute, that's not the truth. I'm going down to the pit here. I don't need to listen to these lies, you know. And find some way to focus on the truth. And to me, sometimes that's going off by myself, enter the silence, bow in prayer, listen and wait for God to speak to me, instead of going on and down the pit with these negative thoughts.
Well, we just got about a minute or so before we have to say goodbye and take our bottom of the hour break. But do you have a suggestion for preemptive strategies before your emotions go into the ditch or go rogue, things that you can do ahead of time to maybe ensure that they don't go off the rails as often?
Well, I think one of the best things that I do daily is just to be in God's Word. And for me, that's going through the Bible every year, just reading through the Bible. Right now I'm going through it with a daily audio Bible. That's how I'm going through it right now. But also with praise music, you know, put that into my house, into my mm-hmm. car, and not the kind of music that sends me, you know. I used to listen to country western, which I still love country western music, but a lot of the songs were just really gloomy and made me really depressed. And so I really make it a habit of listening to positive and encouraging music that, you know, are focused on God's truth.
Well, Karen, thank you for your time today and appreciate you sharing your story with us. God bless you and all that God has you doing. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Susie.
Title of a book, Words That Change Everything, Speaking Truth to Your Soul. All of us need to speak truth to our souls. If you want to in on this drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, you're going to call me with your prayer requests and tell me how you're doing. Don't go away. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Did you hear me say that? I'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And for this half hour of the live show, you are the special guest. And I know we don't always take calls, but this is one of those times I would really love to hear from you. First of all, I want to know, what battle are you facing right now? And what's the lie that's coming up, right? But also, how are you standing? What is God teaching you? Because whatever He's teaching you, He wants to teach us. And I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you get on the air or you email me with what God is teaching you, I've got a stack of books here. I'd love to share one with you. Some really great books off of our Faith Radio shelf. But maybe you've heard this from me before, but years ago when I was battling, you know, you hear, oh, I hope it doesn't sound like it's ad nauseum, but one of my big battles is my health. And so I was getting all these symptoms and they were stirring up all kinds of fear for me. And I remember just crying out to God saying, I wish you would just heal me so I wouldn't have to deal with this fear anymore. And the Lord whispered back to me, what makes you think if I healed you, you wouldn't deal with this fear anymore? I've equipped you to deal with a fear, so deal with it. And you and I will walk out this whole thing together. And let me tell you, I was schooled. Because you know what? When your fears lump together with your battles, it seems like you cannot win. And the truth is, I don't think you can win because that fear sucks the life out of you. And it really takes a discerning spirit and it takes that sword of the spirit to cut through so you know where your fear ends and your circumstance begins. And Luke 10:19 says, for I've given you all the authority over the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will by any means injure you. Jesus says, I've given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. So I want you to think about the battle that you're in, and maybe fear, anxiety, discouragement, maybe melancholy, repetitive thoughts will rise up and discern the dividing point between that stuff and your actual circumstances. Deal with the stuff because God's given you authority to deal with the stuff. And then say, Lord, you've promised the grace to deal with my circumstances. And the truth of the matter is, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So when you separate the spiritual component and the anxiety component that you have authority to deal with, you know, you can make it. You're going to make it through. You will. And his grace will be sufficient and his mercy will be there every single morning. You'll have what you need. And the thing is, people say this all the time, but if we threw all of our problems on the table, most of us would take our own problems back because we're suited for them. Even though we don't like them, there's a grace and they fit us because in the end, if you lean in and are trained by your battle, it will serve you in the end. That trial will pay tribute to your soul. It will. So we got to trust him in that. But I'm telling you, this is one of those strategies that I learned that was so keenly important. Find that dividing line between your stuff and the circumstance, and by the authority of Christ, take authority. 877-933-2484. I want to know what you're going through, what you're learning, what's the lie or the battle, and how you're learning to stand. Hey, Karen, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Thanks for calling.
I just was calling to check in. I was listening to that woman speak of the stress that she was under and how she was hearing lies in her head. And we're going through a beautiful yet stressful season where we're building a house, but we're trying to sell our house at the same time. And I feel like we're losing sight of how amazing things are. And I just was kind of hoping to have someone pray for us and pray for discernment in our head and maybe to help us get our house sold and help us remember what's real and what's true and not hear the voice of the enemy.
Well, I would be honored and love to pray for you, Karen. And I love that you're stopping in the midst of this major transition to look up, because that's what you're doing when you're saying, you know what, I think we're losing focus here. The truth of the matter is moving is a massive amount of stress, even if it's good stress. So that's just real. But I love that you care enough about your faith journey to say, I'm not going to just survive this. I want to thrive in it. And I just am going to pray that God just lifts your chin and he shows you some of these sunny days and helps you to stop at a lemonade stand if you need to, and you have a picnic on the floor. I mean, to do what you can do so that you can find those sacred moments in the journey, because it'll make it absolutely sweet. So let me pray for you. Can I do that?
Yes, I would love it. Thank you.
Well, Jesus, thank you for Karen. Thank you for her very precious heart and her love for you. I pray special blessing of favor and grace over this whole situation. I pray you'd show Karen and her family those Stillwater moments, those picnic moments where you want to just lead them to a place of rest and even belly laughter and fun right in the midst of the heavy duty work. I pray you'd make those moments so clear that they would seize them and enjoy them. I do pray, God, that you would sell that house like it's nothing, but I just have such a sense that you want to bring joy in a worry-free life in the meantime, before that house sells. So I pray you'd make them okay now. Give them joy and faith now. And I just thank you for the provision that you're moving them from one place to the next. I pray for joy in the journey, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what, Karen?
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And you know what? I'm going to give you Randy Elkhorn's book, Happiness. It's like a $25, $30 beautiful hardcover book. And he says so many great things about happiness. But that book seems like it's for you. So that one's going out to you. So make sure to give Aaron your mailing address, okay?
I sure will. Thank you
okay.
so much.
All right. Bless you, dear. All right. We've got an anonymous caller. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. What's going on today?
Well, I'm really struggling. There's a family secret that's between my mom and my brother, and she included me in it years and years ago. And I just became a Christian about 5 years ago, or 5 or 8 years ago, and I have not confronted this issue. And it finally came up today, and I have asked her over the years to share with my brother what she's been hiding, and I can't participate any longer as a Christian, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really struggling because the enemy is filling me with all this guilt and shame for not having dealt with it earlier, and the fear that I'm going to lose her relationship if I tell my brother, and that I'm going to lose his relationship if I tell him, and he knows that my mom knew and that we knew and didn't share with him. And I'm just really struggling, even though I know the Lord's with me. He's been holding my hand. He's been telling me I have to confront it, and I want to do it with integrity, and I want to do it in a Christian, loving way, and I'm just really struggling with how to do it and rise above all of that.
I appreciate you so much. And I don't know if you heard my opening story about God just making it clear, deal with this and I'll help you with that. Remember, did you hear that story?
I did. I was like, oh, I need to call.
Yes. So this is the thing is in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. And those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. So shame and condemnation and guilt have no place in your life. So any shred of it, any spot of it that enemy tries to throw at you is an absolute lie. And the threat that he's going to blow up these relationships is the fact that he's threatened because God wants to restore these relationships because they're not really fully built on the truth. There's love, there's things there that are redemptive, but it's not a full It's not the fullness of what God has. So I would look away from his threats and say, the very fact that you're messing with me, enemy, means this is exactly the way that God wants to bless me. And I would start to pray from above your circumstances. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done. This is not mine to fully carry, even to manage out. You're the one that holds all things together. Mine is to obey you. So it's not even your job to sort through the timing of it all. You walk with the Lord. I think your first point is to get rid of the condemnation, shame, and guilt and turn around and face it and put it under your feet and get feisty and say, enough with that already. I'm a new creation. I stand before God spotless, without fault, with great joy. You don't get to talk to me that way. I mean, get your
that's
snark
right.
on, right? And then when you start to, you know, that's your battle. I wouldn't make a move until you deal with that stuff because you'll be acting out of some emotions that are just sucking you dry, right? And when you
for
get
real.
To a place
okay.
of joy and peace, then you say, Lord, ultimately, I'm not even accountable to my mom or to my brother. I'm accountable to you. I've been bought with a price. So just give me the next thing to do. And with that next thing will be discernment and grace. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he will go with you and he will go ahead of you. So I would just reject the fears and the threats. I have finally learned that the very way that enemy threatens me is exactly the way that God wants to bless me. So I now turn my back on that enemy and I ask God, what do you got for me? What's next? And it helps me.
Yay,
exactly. So get a vision of a restored relationship because I'm saying God can do this for you and I believe he will. And can I pray for you?
Oh, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Oh, Jesus, thank you for my dear anonymous friend. And I thank you that she is so dear to your heart and you love her heart and you've made her new, brand new through and through, that there's no spot or stain on her. And even anything the enemy throws her way in the way of guilt and shame and condemnation slips right off because it doesn't stick to her. She's an eternal being sealed for the day of redemption. Pour out your spirit in a fresh new way, Lord, so she sees herself the way you see her. And it would put a spring in her step that even in this storm, she would find reason to dance and to have joy and to worship and to praise because she is an eternal being now because she belongs to you. Then, Father, give her discernment and wisdom and grace for the next step and then the next step and then the next step. And we claim this family for your name's sake. We plead the blood of Jesus over it. We command that that enemy stand down and we put him under our feet. And I pray, Lord, that you will take what that enemy meant for evil and you will turn it for good. Give this dear girl a vision for what redemption looks like in this family. And may she lay hold of that thing and pray it through to completion. And I pray she would grow in strength as she takes each next step. Thank you for who she is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. And you, if you don't mind giving Aaron your address, I'm looking at, would you rather have radical prayer or the Daniel prayer?
Yes.
The Daniel prayer is Anne Graham Lott's radical prayer. Which one?
You choose because they both sound really great.
I think you should have both, so I'll grab them both, okay?
Oh, bless your heart.
Yes, thank you for
thank
calling.
You. I just got your new book, too.
Oh, good.
It's amazing and wonderful. I love it.
I'm so glad. Well, I will be thinking about you in the days ahead. Thanks for calling, dear.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, who's next? We got Jean. Let's grab Jean from Madison. Hey, Jean, how are you today?
I'm okay, thank you.
Thank you for holding. What's going on for you today?
Well, I just wanted to call because I went through a big anxiety crash a couple weeks back. I'd been working a lot. I was very stressed out. I wasn't, you know, praying and getting into God's word. I was doing all of those things that, you know, that I should be, but of course I was not. And I had this huge crash. I had a panic attack. I couldn't go into my job.
Mm.
And I was driving home this afternoon listening to your show and was thinking how I'm a woman who's in my late 50s and I'm having all these physical manifestations. And that it just struck me what you guys were talking about. And I just wanted to say thank you for the guest you had on and her honesty and her openness because now I don't feel like it's me, you know, who's
yep.
done something wrong, that I haven't taken care of myself the way that I should have. You know, I think we're, you know, for me, I'm always hard on myself.
Me too.
And I think that the enemy has been, you know, hey, you've had this trauma, you haven't taken care of it, ha, 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 you know,
yeah.
now you're slammed and God won't help you and all that sort of stuff. So it was just a blessing to hear your program today.
Thank you so much. And the fact that
thank
stuff's
you.
Coming up for you, I just pray, and I know that God will, you follow him. It's kind of a layer-by-layer approach, but he will lead you to still waters and lead you to places of healing. It's his kindness that allows things to surface, because then it's like him saying, enough now, we're going to deal with this, so I want you to move to this next
yeah.
place with a greater measure of freedom. And that's his fatherly love for you. And so there is no shame or condemnation, only invitation, Jean. So thank you for calling. Oh, and I got to get a book.
Thank you so much.
Okay, let me look at here, my little stack here. I'm looking at Beauty. Let's see. Let me peek real quick. What? Beauty Begins. That's the one I'm going to give you, okay? It's,
that sounds
it's
wonderful.
Out of my reach. Otherwise, I'd tell you more about it, but I know it's a great book.
That's
so
okay.
You be sure to give Aaron your address, okay, hon?
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gail, I know you've been holding, and we have to take a break, and I pray you can keep holding. I'm so, so sorry. I'm going to give you two books. This is my guilt that keeps on giving, but I want to hear from you. I do have a note on the board. I have a sense of what you're talking about, but if, so if you can't hold, I'm going to pray for you on the air, if that's okay for you, but I do pray you can hold. This is just a minute and a half break. Would love to hear from you as well. How can we stand with you? 877-933-2484. We have one more segment together. Back in a moment.
So speak life.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're doing something a little different for this segment, taking your calls, asking about your battle. What are you battling right now? What's God saying to you? What's the enemy saying to you? Just helping you find your footing, pray with you if I can do that. Gail's been on hold, and so she gets two books, I'm just saying, because she wins the award for patience. Gail, so glad you held today. What can we do for you?
Well, thank you, Susie, for taking my call.
Yeah.
I am... I'm a very emotional girl, so I've been battling with my son. He is 26 now, got out of prison about 5 months ago, and got right back into meth, and he's, you know, homeless. We don't know what to do with him. I've had him living in the back of my shed for a while, and then he's starts having lots of mental health issues, and we tried, you know, having the police and the ambulance, you know, take him, trying to get him to get help, and, you know, he just won't accept it. I just sit and worry every night, you know.
I can't imagine.
You know, is this going to be the night I get the call? You know, and I've been engaged, and everybody wonders when I'm going to get married. And I go, how can I get married? How can I plan a wedding when I'm constantly in fear of my son? And I said, you know, I want him to be there at our wedding. And so everybody, I just can't move on. I keep waiting for God to tell me, what am I learning through this?
I'm so sorry. There's no easy answer to this, Gail. I mean, it's terrible. And any mom who's worried about their child making decisions that could hurt them have at least a taste of what of the hell that you've walked through. But this is a whole new level of just heart wrench. And we just stand with you, Gail. I'm just so desperately sorry that you've had to endure this. And we've got to, I've got different people in my life who've had to walk through this kind of thing. And what they've said that they've had to get to a place of, and I don't know if this is helpful, I'm going to pray for you for sure, but a place of detached love, because it's like you can't keep going down to the depths with him. And I think it would be next to impossible, because I just know how my heart broke for just some of the wandering ways a couple of my boys were in for a while. But I still believe it's possible, because I watched it, that you get to a place where you disconnect and you turn them over to the Lord. You still love them. You still pray. But, you know, Sarah Groves has a line in her song, and she says, it's too heavy to carry and impossible to leave. And I think that's true in this place, Gail, that the son of yours in his situation is too heavy to carry and impossible to leave. And so let's just pray that God would somehow give you the grace. I don't know what that looks like, but you detach to a degree that you can get your own oxygen mask on again, that you trust that God loves them more than you do. And Father, we just pray, God, that he would hit bottom now in the name of Jesus. I pray that these worldly broken cisterns would fail him now. And we together, thousands upon thousands of us, agree for Gail. I ask you to heal her broken heart. I ask you to shore her up, Lord. I ask you to pour out your spirit in a way that overwhelms her, that you give her inexplicable joy in the midst of this trauma. And we ask you, God, put people and circumstances in this boy's life that speak truth. And in the name of Jesus, put a wedge between people and circumstances and this boy that speak death, that lead him off the rails. God, we ask you, surround him with your favor, with your protection. Put angels all around him to block his path from ruining his life. And we ask in the name of Jesus, open his eyes and awaken his heart and show him what he needs to see so that his life is redeemed. And I pray for Gail in this upcoming marriage. I pray her wedding day would be absolutely beautiful. And I just ask, do a miracle in her heart right now, and do a miracle in his, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Susie.
Oh, dear.
I want to say about 5 years ago, I've always been a Christian, but I started listening to, I don't know, Faith 1200. I don't know if I accidentally hit the station, you know, how God intervenes sometimes. And I was listening to, I've listened to everyone on the station and just have enjoyed it immensely. And a few years ago, we decided to get this dog and the puppy, and we ran off. And I had this feeling, overwhelming feeling, that God was telling me to take this puppy. And when the puppy went, I said, okay, God, why did you tell me to take this dog, and why did you make me go through 3 weeks of hell before we got the dog back? Mm-hmm. And when I was listening to your station, you kept always saying, you know what, just keep believing and be diligent. And so whenever I had that moment of like, I got to give up, it's just too overwhelming, I just got to give up, it's easier. And I turned on the radio, and you guys keep saying, be diligent, be diligent. And so this is what does keep me going in times where I'm like, it's just too much work to even believe that there something can come out of this. And, you know, I just know that you're supposed to be diligent. Don't let the devil talk you into that.
Yeah. And
so I got my dog back 3 weeks later.
Mm.
So everybody goes, it was a miracle. And I go, no, it was God.
Yeah.
So,
and Gail, this is,
I know he's there.
He is. And this is where you deal with the fear and you trust God with the circumstance. Remember that, how we were talking about that? You put the shield up and you block the fear. Don't let him put fears in your head about tomorrow, about what could happen to your son. You just can't go there. And if there's any kind of discipline that you can employ, it's that. But then I would say rest. Get some rest and do some things that you enjoy. Go get a pedicure. Do some things that are good for you, Gail. Don't postpone your life until he comes around. I think that's the only way you're going to make it through this. But the two books I have for you, one is called The Listening Life. It's Embracing Attentiveness in a World of Distraction. Another brilliant book by Mark Buchanan. It's called Spiritual Rhythm, Being with Jesus in Every Season of Your Soul. So those are for you. Okay, Gail? So make sure you give Aaron your address. All right?
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, we've got 1 minute, so we're going to take, that's right, Ashley, and I'm going to pray for her. And Renee, I'm so sorry we're going to run out of time, but Ashley, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Susie. I'll make it quick. I'm standing in the wake of a divorce that I didn't want and I didn't see coming. And I thought the whole time that it was God's will to restore and redeem our marriage. But I know in the valley, my faith is just exponentially increased, and I know it's what God wanted me to learn. So just to have perseverance in knowing that God's promises are true and my best days are ahead of me. For that to just be the way I think and what I now focus my prayers on.
You are brave. You are more brave than you know, Ashley. And if I can tell you, one of my sons went through the same exact thing. Didn't so desperately want his marriage to end, but it did. And he thought he would die from it all. And all this time later, we're seeing God redeem his story and see him smile again and see God just restore on every level. And he can do that. That's what he does. But I'm going to pray for you, okay?
Thank you.
Well, Jesus, I thank you so much for Ashley. I thank you that you love her with an everlasting love. I thank you that you make all things new, that you take what that enemy means for evil and you turn it for good. I pray that you continue to lift her chin. Anytime she's tempted to look down, help her to look up, to see what you're up to. I pray she would walk by faith, not by sight, and you give her her vision for her next place of promise. I pray her heart would start to beat for the call of God on her life, and when that enemy tries to pull her back, she would just feel that much more compelled to run the race to win, to press on towards a prize that you've called her to. Thank you for this daring, courageous, beautiful girl. Thank you that you're not even close to finish with her story yet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, Ashley, don't you give up. You keep pressing on. And the book I have for you, it's fantastic. It's by Jefferson Bethke. It's called It's Not What You Think, Why Christianity is About So Much More Than Going to Heaven When You Die. You're going to love it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. God bless you. Thank you for calling. Wow, that was fantastic. And Renee, I'm so sorry we couldn't get to you and Sharon couldn't get to you, but we are going to do this again sometime just to stand with you. But isn't it something you realize when you hear these dear friends call in, you're not alone in your battle. And you also know when you're in a battle, the enemy lies to you, doesn't he? But God has a truth for you, for all of us. So find the truth, stand on it, hang on it. and in due time you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up is my buddy Bill stepping in and hosting for me to talk to my buddy, Dr. Greg Smalley. Two funny guys in the same room. I don't know how in the world they're going to handle it, let alone how you're going to handle it, but I think you'll have a good time anyway. I'm off on the road for some speaking events, but I'll meet you back here on Monday. Have a blessed, blessed day. Thank you.